You're looking to sell your home? At realestateagentsitrust.com, our goal is to ease the stress of home selling by helping you sell your home as quickly as possible at the best price possible. Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and I want to thank you. In just the last few months, thousands of Blaze Radio listeners just like you have contacted our agents. So if you're thinking of selling your home, or if you want help buying a home, go to realestateagentsitrust.com and let our individually selected agents earn your business. Realestateagentsitrust.com.
You know, a lot of times we talk about issues, and then years later you find stuff out. We have new information on the Gang of Ocho bill. Become a hot issue again with Marco Rubio running for president. Remember the Gang of Ocho bill where eight members got together, eight members of the House.
It's
the
bipartisan,
Senate.
Doc.
Right. Four Republicans and four Democrats in the Senate got together and said, we, the Gang of Ocho, the eight of us, can come together and come up with a plan to fix immigration in America. And, of course, as a cornerstone, they offered a new pathway to citizenship, basically saying if you're here illegally, we're going to keep you here. And Marco Rubio has been under a little bit of fire. But now, years later, we have new information. This is really, really important. Marco Rubio said he never intended for it to become a law.
I'm sorry?
He never intended for it to become a law.
Okay, why then, if he didn't intend for it to become a law, did they build this whole big bipartisan, reaching across the aisle, eight people getting together to solve one of the big nation's problems, and it was never intended to become law?
Skip.
Well, what was it intended to become?
Skip. That was a starting point. They thought the House would make it even better.
How?
It'd make it better.
Okay, I'll even give you that. Say that's the truth. How? How are you going to make it better, that is your argument?
Well, based on the fact that he's running for president and a bunch of conservatives are like, I can't vote for this guy because he supported amnesty, maybe he meant even better, like, take out the amnesty part.
Maybe.
Maybe that, because if it wasn't that, I'm sorry, I'm out.
No, I think I got it.
What's
I think
that?
I figured it out. You know, obviously Donald Trump has been doing really well in this campaign. It's been
yes.
surging. Maybe Marco Rubio just wants to make the Gang of Eight great again. make the Gang of Eight great again. Get little hats made up, little trucker hats. Make the Gang of Eight great again.
Make the Gang of Ocho Bill great again.
Okay, I'm okay
like
with that too, yeah.
Make it great something. So,
make amnesty great again, if you want to shorten
okay.
it down.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Make illegals great again.
Oh,
something like
too.
That.
See, it's word economy here, though.
So, apparently he was relying on the House to make it even better. So, let me break this down for you. Initially, Marco Rubio runs for Senate and swears to people that he is absolutely 100% against amnesty or any form thereof. And a lot of people in Florida are like, wow, here is a Hispanic conservative that I really like anyways, and he's that staunch on immigration? Excellent. You're our guy. And they elect him. Tea Party gets behind him. And then as soon as he gets in there, he's like, yeah, we're going to do something with his amnesty. I can go ahead and join the Gang of Ocho because we got to do something, right? That's the argument. We got to do something. Then, while running for president, he has to answer for this. And he said, no. I've evolved on this. I've evolved because when they passed the Gang of Ocho, that was a different time. Now we're under terrorist threats.
See, and I hate that argument. How can you say that now we're under terrorist threats?
What are you talking about? I mean, we had the Boston bombing,
and
we had the San Bernardino.
Sure.
You have all this stuff.
But
that,
those aren't the only examples of terror attacks in America in the past couple of decades.
When he did the Gang of Ocho, what terrorist attack? Name one.
9/11.
Oh, that little thing.
How about 9/11, the largest terrorist attack on American soil?
Okay, well, I guess that does count for something.
Killed just under 3,000 people. But no, we had never had any sort of an incident that might have required people to look at immigration.
Okay, so lies about it, flip-flops, pushed the Gang of Ocho bill, now claimed, was campaigning and over the last couple of months that it was because things are different now, and now has evolved even farther, saying, well, I thought the House was going to make it even better. That was just a kind of a starting point.
And again, if that's the argument, I mean, why is it that the House would be making it any better? Shouldn't you have just made it better to begin with? What types of things were you hoping that the House were going to put in there? If those are things that you think would have made the bill better, why weren't they part of your version of the bill?
Oh, you expect him to do all the work? Can't the House do a little bit of work?
Yeah, I expect him to do the best job he can. If there were things in there that he thought were necessary and should have been part of this bill to make it better, they should have been part of his bill.
Sounds pretty lazy to me. I mean, why not just go for the gold? Just say, this is what I want. What's with the horse trading? What's with the sausage making? This is what I want. This is what I'm trying for. And the rest? Unacceptable, and you move on.
And why then, if this was something that he was so passionate about, was such a huge, interesting, a major issue that he had to join this bipartisan group, why would he left that up to chance that the House would do the right thing? If it was so important, why is that not information and stuff that he included within the bill himself? Because it's so important, we must act right now. But we're going to leave a bunch of crap up to the House.
I can only imagine a Marco Rubio presidency where he has the same attitude.
Ah.
You know, you were threatened with some sort of national crisis as far as being invaded or something. He's like, yeah, I was going to send in the troops, but...
I thought I'd call Canada first, see what they
thought they
about,
were going to make,
you know,
it better, do something. I'm going to do a little bit, but see what they can come up with, because I got nothing. This is the best I could do. I'm sorry. This is it.
No, in fact, this right here just shows that Marco Rubio would probably be pretty inept as president and a sellout.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, look at the string of lies. I am so tired of this stuff. And the Republicans lining up to support Marco Rubio, you make me sick. In some ways, in many ways, I have more respect for the people that are supporting Donald Trump. Seriously, I really do. Because I can at least find some value in Donald Trump. Small as it may be, at least he's a jerk to the people in D.C. Now, when he gets there, he's not going to be a jerk to him. He's going to be selling out along with them. But at least I can take some satisfaction in that. Marco Rubio's just a jerk.
And that's a shame, too, because Marco Rubio has a pretty good record overall.
Pretty good.
This
pretty
whole
good.
Gang of Eight thing is really the only big shining thing you could take a look at as a huge, major, major fail. However, that's one of the big things that everything related to it has made it so much worse than it actually is.
There's some other things. I've done some research recently. He has some other pretty big fails. He was all about the TPP, man. He was all about giving the president the fast-track authority. He was all about voting for that Trans-Pacific Partnership and all of that. All about that nonsense. And when you look at his fails, you know what his fails have to do with? Marco Rubio is bought and paid for by the Chamber of Commerce and the crony corporatists in America today. That's it. In fact, I have reason to believe, based on some little things I've heard, I heard from a guy who heard from a girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night that the Koch brothers like Marco Rubio quite a bit, too. Mm-hmm. Now, it's plenty of good that the Koch brothers do with their cash. They're fairly solid libertarians, but they also vote with the people who are going to do well for the cronies out there.
But you are saying today, I mean, on the air, that you believe Marco Rubio has a bit of a Koch problem.
I do, but well, he doesn't think it's a problem. I think it's a problem.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I mean there's some people who say they could reasonably use Coke, like on the weekends and
right.
stuff.
No. It's a problem as how it affects him.
Okay.
You know, there's nothing wrong with him getting money from the Coke brother and doing whatever. But when you start selling out on amnesty and things like this, I say, yeah, that's a problem with your, you know, use of the Coke brother's money.
I don't know. All I heard you say is that Marco Rubio has a Koch problem.
I'd say it is a Koch brother problem. K-O-C-H, Koch brothers. Got a bit of an issue there.
Well, Miami area, too, could be a little
saying, you know, it's a little bit of a problem there. So, yeah. So just so you know, where we currently stand today, Marco Rubio really didn't want that Gang of Ocho bill to pass. He didn't want it to pass. Which is funny because that's the thing that he's hammered Ted Cruz on. Skip and I have been incredibly honest in our biases, and we're consistent, as always, on our morning radio program. And it is this. For the last year or so, Ted Cruz has been one of our front runners. We've liked a couple of other people, too, like Rand Paul, who just self-destructed. But we like the basic attitude and their track record on votes. So we've admitted that on the air. However, we've also taken Ted Cruz to task quite a bit because Ted has a bit of a problem when it comes to the Gang of Ocho bill. He has not left me completely convinced that he is against amnesty. He's explained away his support of the Gang of Ocho bill and that, offering that amendment. Kind of. It was kind of a poison pill. I can get a little bit of it, but there's part of it that doesn't make sense as well. But Marco Rubio has called him out about flip-flopping on that.
Repeatedly,
when Ted Cruz has said, I didn't want it to pass. That was Ted Cruz's argument that Marco Rubio has hammered him on. And now Marco's going, I didn't want it to pass either. You were one of the Gang of Eight. You own 1/8 of it. He wanted to pass, though.
By the way, we're just getting word to John McCain's now saying, yeah, that was BS. We didn't want it to pass either. I don't know what we were thinking, guys.
Yeah, he didn't want it to pass. Chuck Schumer didn't want it to pass. None of them did.
It's interesting, though, that this Gang of Eight bill is going to be something that's going to haunt not just one, but several of the candidates in this GOP race to the nominee.
As it should. Let me lay this out one final time in case you have not come to terms or put into perspective the failures of our immigration system. And keep in mind, what I say comes from a man who, if not for our immigration system, our legal immigration system, I would never have met my beautiful bride. My wife is an immigrant. She immigrated when she was a child, legally, from South Korea, along with her mother. who lives with us as well. These people are my life. This is my family. So I have a pretty good perspective on this, and I appreciate a healthy, strong legal immigration system, but I recognize it has to be legal and you have to do it the right way. Yes, we have some flaws in our immigration system. The biggest flaw is a lack of enforcement of current immigration laws. Period. That's the biggest flaw. Now, there are some slightly smaller flaws. For example, the fact that it is so difficult to immigrate here. It takes a lot of money. It's not the effort that I have a problem with. It should take effort. You should say, I'm passionate about coming to America, and I'm willing to do what it takes. But it's really expensive. On average, over the course of getting your legal status and then becoming a citizen, it takes about $20,000. Well, we don't want or shouldn't want as a society just rich people having access to America. We want everybody to have access to it as long as you're the right sort of person. So it is a bit expensive. So we can make some adjustments there. But the biggest thing we have to do is enforce our laws. Now, how do you deal with current immigration system? Well, the reason they want this comprehensive is because they know they will not be able to get any type of amnesty passed unless they put it in with a big bill that does with everything that does everything else, including enforce the border. So, number one, secure the border and enforce our current immigration laws. Number two, go ahead and tweak our legal immigration system, make it a little cheaper. You can even open it up. Whatever we determine is the appropriate number of immigrants to come here, whatever we can stand, is it 2 million a year? Currently, it's about 1 million. Is it 10 million? Bring them in. I don't have a problem. It could be 20 million. If we say as a society we can sustain that, bring them in, make them Americans, put them on that pathway, it's going to make America stronger. I have no problem with that. If they have the right attitude about America, about freedom and the Constitution. But there can and should be no additional pathway to citizenship. We have a pathway to citizenship. It's called our current illegal immigration system, and they're just not abiding by it. The illegals are not, nor are people like Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio. So we have an immigration system. Enforce it.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break. And at the worst possible time, call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on water. Washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.